Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Our message is Level Up Your Prayer Life, Discovering the Key to Answered Prayer. And since this is still the beginning of the new year, we once again turn our attention to the all-important work of the church. How many of you know what the most important thing the church can do is? Pray. Amen. A plus to those that said that. Amen. Prayer is the greatest task to which the Christian can set themselves, because nothing else is of any avail unless God blesses it, unless God anoints, unless God moves. Amen. The Bible says they labor in vain who build the house, except the Lord build the house. Amen. And so unless God is moving, all of our labors are in vain. E.M. Bounds was a passionate pastor, and he was convinced of the transformative power of prayer. And he has written several books on prayer, and they are classics. If you have the opportunity, you can order them. Most of the books are short little paperbacks, but they are packed with power. So look up E.M. Bounds on Amazon and order the books on prayer, because I know it will be a blessing to you. But in his book, Purpose in Prayer, he writes, "Prayer is the greatest of all forces because it honors God and brings him into active aid." It activates God to move in our life. Amen? He goes on to say, "There can be no substitute, no rival for prayer. It stands alone as the great spiritual force, and this force must be eminent and acting. Prayer," he said, "is most powerful because its results lie outside the range of human possibilities." If you want what only you can do, then don't pray. But if you want what only God can do, then pray your heart out until he does it. Amen? So he says prayer is most powerful because its results lie outside the range of human possibility. They are limited only by the omnipotence of God. Amen? And since God is all powerful, then there is no limit when we pray. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And the Bible is filled with amazing promises of the power of prayer. And one of the most often quoted is found in John 14, verses 13 through 14. Read with me, if you will. "You can ask for anything." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Anything." Anything. Turn to your other neighbor and say, "Anything." "Anything." That's a big promise, isn't it? It's like handing somebody a blank check and say, "Filling it out for any amount." Wouldn't that be wonderful if somebody did that to you? Well, somebody has, God. Amen? He says, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father." Yes, ask me for anything. He says it another time. You know why? Because it's so unbelievable. So he says, "Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I may do it." If your Bible says, "I may do it," you got the wrong Bible. Because it says, "I will do it." That's definitive, amen? It's not maybe, if, perhaps. No, I will do it. Now, most often people quote these two verses without giving any thought to the surrounding verses. So they'll ask for anything. "Lord, give me a brand new Mercedes," or "give me a brand new Beamer." And it doesn't happen. And they're like, "Where are you, God?" You know, we have to understand this in its context. Because if not, we can get a mistaken impression that anybody can ask for anything and he will do it. But that's not what he says. I want us to read this promise again in its context, reading from verses 12 through 17. "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me," that's who the promise is addressed to, "anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Those who believe in me, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father." So we're asking for things that are going to glorify the Father. "If you love me, obey my commandment." Oh, so this promise is given to people who are walking in obedience. "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it's looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be within you." As I said, many people take the promise of answered prayer in this scripture out of context, and they assume that the promises are made to anybody and everybody for anything. So when they claim a promise and it that doesn't belong to them and they don't get the answer, they become disappointed with God. I knew someone many years ago that was going to one of those name it and claim it churches, you know, blab it and grab it, you know, just say it, speak it out, and you can have it. And so they were even told by their pastor, if you want to get married, buy a suit the size of the man you want to marry and hang it in your closet. And claim, and they did this. And they were claiming and professing and blabbing, and time went on, and the guy never came. And they were ready to give up on the Lord. And they came to me and said, you know what? I don't believe in God anymore because I was doing X, Y, and Z. And, you know, and of course I had to bring, you know, the counsel of God's word and say, you know what? That's not what the Bible says. That's not how God tells us to pray, you know, and try to bring some balance into that. When you claim a promise that doesn't belong to you and you don't get the answer, some people get disappointed. And they feel God failed them. But when you read the promise of answered prayer here in John 14, you find that God's promise is made to certain people, certain anybodies, who live a certain way and who pray a certain way. And when we understand that, we will discover the key to praying prayers that God always answers. How many of you want to pray prayers God always answers? Amen? I know I do. And so if we look at God's word, we can discover the key how to pray prayers God always answers. First of all, prayers that are always answered are prayed by people of faith. People of faith. John tells us three things about the person to whom God promises to always answer their prayers. First of all, God answers prayers of believers. Jesus said this promise is to anyone who believes. So this promise is not made to anyone as a blanket statement. It's made to anyone who believes, not just believes in general. You know, at Christmas time, you see these signs all over, believe, believe. And they have this nebulous concept of belief. Believe in Christmas magic. Believe in the Christmas spirit. No, these are people who believe in Jesus. Amen? Believing in Jesus is what sets us apart. And believing in Jesus is not the same as believing about Jesus. Many people think themselves to be Christians simply because they've accepted certain facts about Jesus as true. But you know what the Bible says? Even the devil believes and trembles. But guess what? He's not saved and God ain't answering his prayers. Amen? Believing about Jesus is not the same as believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus is trusting our life to Jesus. Amen? It's surrendering ourselves in faith to him and say, Lord, you are so good, so wonderful. You just deserve all of me. I just surrender myself completely to you. And we do that on a daily basis. That's what believing in Jesus is about. Amen. Believing in Jesus is trusting our life daily to him. Believing in Jesus means to put our personal confidence in all that he says, in his word. Amen. It's the casting off of all confidence in ourselves and our ability and our competence to save ourselves or to make ourselves right before God. Believing in Jesus is trusting him as the sacrifice for our sins, the only means of forgiveness, and the only way of access to the throne of God so that we can come confidently into God's presence and we can ask his help with the expectancy that he will hear us and answer. And we're trusting only in Jesus. It's not because, oh God, I've taught Sunday school for the last 25 years, so God, hear me when I cry out. No, that's trusting in ourselves. Amen? But sometimes we pray that way, don't we? Lord, I've served you faithfully. I've given, I've done. And we're trying to, you know, kind of make ourselves worthy before God. But faith in Jesus is saying, Lord, I'm not worthy of anything. But I trust completely in you as I come before your throne. Hallelujah. Believing Jesus is receiving him also not only as our Savior, but our Lord and Master, and surrendering control of our lives and saying, God, I give you my all. Have your way in me. And when our life belongs to him, we can confidently pray knowing that he will answer. Do you know that nowhere in Scripture does God promise to answer the prayers of those who do not believe in Jesus? Now, sometimes in his mercy, because he is abundantly merciful, amen? He hears the cry of a desperate person and he answers their prayer. Why? To draw them unto himself, amen? In fact, many of the miracles Jesus did were intended to draw people to faith, amen? But we don't have that confidence, that guarantee. I remember many years ago when I worked on staff at a church in Miami, one of the deacons of that church, he owned an electrical company, and he was doing some electrical work in the church office, and I was in there, and his daughter had been just diagnosed with a severe illness, and I was talking to him and kind of encouraging him, and he said, you know what? He said, I would be grown crazy right now if I hadn't trusted myself to Jesus. He said, but because I have trusted my life to Jesus, I have the confidence that he is going to work in my daughter's life. And you know what? That was more than 30 years ago, because I've been pastoring this church for almost 31 years. That was more than 30 years ago. His daughter is doing well. She's married. She's got kids of her own. Why? Because God came through for him, because he was a man of faith. Amen. If you're not united to Jesus by living in faith in him as your Lord and Savior, you can't claim his promise. But if you're a believer, this promise is yours, and you can have confidence when you pray. See, if I stood up here today and I said, I have $10,000 to give to any person who will come up to me and ask, I'd probably get run over right now. Amen? And you would have every reason to come and ask. Why? Because I just said I'll give $10,000 to anybody who asks. But if I stood up here with $10,000 and just laid it here, and you didn't know that it was for you, you would have no reason to ask and no confidence in asking. You might come up and plea and say, oh, please, I can't pay my rent. I need that money to pay off my bills or whatever. But you wouldn't have any confidence to ask. Why? Because I didn't tell you that I was going to give it to you. Are you following me? But the reason that we can have confidence in asking is because when we have that faith relationship with Jesus, he has made a promise to us that if we ask anything in his name, that he will do it. So now we can come with confidence. Amen? We can come with confidence and ask him. And there's no exclusion. If you're a believer, this promise is yours. This promise is not just for pastors or evangelists or spiritual leaders or televangelists or some super spiritual Christian. Jesus says simply, anyone who believes in me. Turn to your neighbor and says, that means you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, that means you. See, this promise is for you. Amen? Now, God also tells us that he answers the prayers of those who have faith in his word. So we have to have faith in Jesus. We have to have faith in his word. In fact, Jesus makes two references to his word in this passage. In verse 15, he says that God answers the prayers of those who what? Obey his commandments. That's a reference to his word. Verse 17, he speaks of how the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. So as we're walking in truth, then we can claim this promise. In the very next chapter, Jesus gives a similar remarkable promise of answered prayer in John 15:7, when he says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want. Why? Because if his word is living in us and we're dwelling in his word is going to guide what we're asking for, right? So he says, if you ask for anything you want, it will be granted. So we need to remain in Jesus through daily being in his word, but we also need to allow his word to live inside of us. The only way for the word to remain in us is if we stay in or remain in his word on a daily basis. Amen? And when you're going through something, you need to do that all the more. I remember when I was battling cancer 6 years ago, I've told you before, but I made a whole list of healing scriptures. And I would daily declare those scriptures of healing over me. And if fear came into my heart because of a symptom I felt or something I was going through, I would just begin to declare that. What was I doing? I was abiding in his word so that his word would abide in me. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you can only pray with confidence for what you know it is God's will to do for you. If we don't know it's God's will to do it, how can we ask for it with confidence? Amen? But when we study the Word, we learn God's promises. We discover what God says He wants to do for us. We discover His will, and that gives us the boldness, the confidence to pray with expectancy. You know, one study I saw said that 46% of American Christians spend less than 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. In fact, it's a great concern in the Christian world today of how most Christians are not reading the Bible today. Now, 46%, I know none of them are here, amen? We're talking about folks at the church down the street. But 46% of Americans spend less than 5 minutes reading the Bible. How can you, with just 5 minutes a day, have the kind of faith that boldly comes into the throne of God and claims His promises? How can you know what His promises are? Amen. It's getting awful quiet in here. But if we don't have that foundation of God's Word in our lives, is it any wonder that so many prayers go unanswered? Now, there's another reason that remaining in God's Word is essential to answer prayer, and that's because God answers the prayer of those who live in obedience to His Word. Jesus promised in verse 14, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And in the very next verse, He follows it by saying, if you love me, obey my commandments. So if we believe in Jesus, it will lead us to the kind of love for Him that moves us to study His Word so that we can know His commandments, because we want to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Because how can you live a life that's pleasing to Him if you don't read His Word? If you don't know what He says about how He wants us to live, amen? We need to be saturated with the Word of God. We obey His commandments when we love Him, when we have a hunger for His Word. We obey His commandments not because we're trying to be perfect or we're trying to earn our way into His presence or His acceptance. No, we can never do that. We can never deserve anything from God. But we love God, and we love Jesus, and because of that, and because of all that He has done for us, we want to do what's pleasing to Him. When you love somebody, you want to do what's pleasing to Him. Amen? Pleasing to them. So, for instance, some of you couples, you know what your spouse likes. Amen? Maybe some of you know a favorite meal that they like. And so you delight in making that meal for them because you know it pleases them. Am I right? Or you may know that your spouse likes when you do a certain thing for them. Their love language is gifts of service. So you do that thing. You know, it might be to fill up their car, or it might be to iron their clothes, and you know that that brings joy to them. So what? You do that for them, right? Because when you love somebody, you delight to do the things that please them. And when we love God, we obey Him. Not out of duty, not out of trying to make ourselves pleasing to Him, but because we want to please Him because He has done so much for us. And the promise of answered prayer is given to those who love Him and obey His commandments. Throughout the Bible, God's promise to answer prayer are made to those who diligently study His Word to know His Word that they might do His Word. There was a story I read, a testimony I read, of a lady named Jenny who came forward to her pastor, R.A. Torrey, and he's a famous preacher, and she shared that she was very troubled because God was not answering her prayers. He said, oh, there's nothing to be troubled about with that. Did God anywhere promise to answer your prayers? He plainly said in His Word whose prayers He will answer. And then Tori quoted to her 1 John 3:22, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. Now, Jenny, the pastor said, does that verse describe you? Are you studying the Word of God every day in your life to find out what God wants you to do and to do it every time you find it? She kind of hung her head and she said, well, no, I don't do that. And then he said, well, there's nothing mysterious about God not answering your prayers, is there? No, get mad at me. I didn't say that. Pastor Tori said that. Amen. And he's just quoting the word, right? So if you want to get angry at anybody, leave R.A. Tori's church. Don't leave New Life. Amen. But that's a sobering thought, isn't it? It's a sobering thought. When we really pay attention, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. Now think about this. If 46% of Christians spend less than 5 minutes a day reading God's word, how can we expect to live the kind of life that pleases God so that we can claim the promise of God, that we can ask anything in his name and he will do it? Now, sometimes God answers because of his mercy, because of his goodness. But unless we're living the life he calls us to live, we can't have that confidence in asking. So let's level up this year and commit to spend more time in his word so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him, so that our prayers will be more effectual. So what I want to challenge you to do, and we'll call you to this commitment at the end, if you don't yet have a time of studying God's word, you've not yet established that habit, I want to challenge you to start by doing 5 minutes a day. Now, if I tell you do an hour a day and you have never done that before, you're going to get overwhelmed. So start with 5 minutes a day. If you already have a habit of being in God's word and you're doing 10 minutes or you're doing 15 minutes, add 5 minutes. Every one of us can grow. Amen? So I challenge you to make a fresh commitment this year to be more in God's word by either starting with 5 minutes or adding 5 minutes to your daily time in his word, your daily devotions. Now, the second principle that Jesus gives us for those for answered prayer is that prayers that are always answered are prayed to fulfill God's will. To fulfill God's will, not our will. Amen? God promises to answer prayer that are in alignment with his word. 1 John 5:14 says this: "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to our will, he hears us." That's not what it says, right? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You might say, well, if it's his will, then won't he do it anyway, even if I don't ask? No, not necessarily. As one writer said, the goal of prayer is not to change the will of God, but rather to secure for ourselves and others the blessings that God has already said that he's willing to grant, but are made conditional on our asking for them. So do you hear what he's saying? He's saying God has said that he's willing to do certain things, but we need to pray for those things in order to secure it for ourselves and for those that we're praying for. Amen? So God is not just going to automatically do it because he said he's willing to do it. We need to ask for it. In what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's telling us you need to pray for God's will to be done in your life. You need to pray for God's will to be done in your marriage and your home. You need to pray for God's will to be done in your church, in your community, in your nation. Amen. We need to pray for it. It's not going to automatically happen. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How is his will done in heaven? It's perfectly accomplished, amen? That's why there's no sin, there's no evil, there's no sickness, no death, no sorrow, etc. And there is eternal health, joy, peace, righteousness. How many of you want that, amen? But here on earth, his will is hindered by Satan and by the sinfulness of mankind. And praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is a battle cry, actually. Praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is not a prayer of passivity, resigning ourselves to whatever happens. It is a prayer of spiritual warfare. It's praying that the kingdom of darkness will be defeated by the kingdom of God in our life and in the lives of those that we are interceding for, in our church, in our community, and in our world. It is praying for every hindering force of evil and darkness to be destroyed, so that the kingdom reign of God may be made manifest as it was through Jesus. Wherever he went, he brought the kingdom, right? And that meant that people were healed. that the curse of sin that brings sickness was destroyed. People were set free. The bondages that Satan brings, they were broken, because wherever Jesus went, the kingdom of God was manifest to destroy the kingdom of darkness. And now he teaches us to pray, your kingdom come. Lord, come with power. Come with authority in our midst and destroy the works of darkness and accomplish your good will and purpose. And we are praying that we would be so aligned with the will and purpose of God that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue the work that Jesus started when he was here on earth. That's why he connects this promise with the coming of the Holy Spirit. God promises to answer prayers that fulfill his purpose. That's why this remarkable promise to ask anything in his name and he will do it follows right after his statement in verse 12. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works, because I am going to the Father. What he's saying is, you know what? I want you to continue my work. I want you to continue my purpose. God wants to flow through us in the power of the Holy Spirit with miracles and signs and wonders to fulfill his purpose in this world. And it doesn't just speak to preachers or evangelists. It's every single one of us. God wants us to do greater works. Amen? I've shared this story before, but several years ago, we were having, I believe it was a beginning of the year prayer revival service, and a lady happened in. The lights were down, music was playing, everybody was in a place of prayer, and a lady, I think she was waiting, if I remember the story right, she was waiting to get in Outback's restaurant that used to be down here where Hook and Reel is now, and they give you those little buzzers so you can wait, and somehow she had slipped in. And so she was sitting towards the back. And she said she had heard the music and decided to come in. Well, there was another lady from our church named Mabel who was towards the back, but she was kneeling, praying in her pew, in her chair. And she said later on that the Lord said to her, look up, I want you to minister to someone. And so Mabel lifted up her head and she saw this stranger who had come in. So Mabel got up and went to the lady, and she thought God wanted her to share salvation with this woman, with this stranger that had come in. So she talked to the woman a little bit about Jesus and salvation, and then she asked the lady, would you like to pray with me? And the lady said, yes. So Mabel said, then come with me to the altar. Mabel said later on, she realized, but in the heat of the moment, she didn't. She realized she could have prayed with the lady right there. But what happened was that as she said, come with me to the front, the lady reached under the chairs and took out two metal crutches. And then Mabel felt bad that she had asked the lady to come forward, because she could have prayed with her right there, but she didn't want to make it more awkward by saying, no, I'll pray for you here. So the lady came to the front with Mabel, and Mabel started leading her in the sinner's prayer. And in the midst of leading her in the sinner's prayer, the woman screamed and ran out. And Mabel, who had a very sensitive soul, thought she had offended the lady with something she said in the prayer. And she's like, oh my God, I offended this woman or whatever. Well, she didn't know what was going on, and she didn't realize either that the lady who had formerly walked with crutches ran in the moment. She didn't realize that. So a few minutes later, I was praying over on that side, just behind the altar rail there, and one of the ushers came to get me, and they said, Pastor Maria, there's a crazy lady in the back parking lot running around and screaming and asking to speak to the pastor. And so I thought to myself, well, aren't the ushers there to deal with the crazy people? I didn't say that. Hallelujah, I was too sanctified. So I got up and I said, okay, and he took me to the back door there. And as I walked out the back door, this woman comes running to me so fast, I thought she was gonna knock me over. And she said, are you the pastor, are you the pastor? I didn't know if I wanted to answer or not. And so I said, yes, I'm the pastor. She goes, I gotta tell you what happened to me. And she started to relate the story how 3 years earlier she had been in a car accident where her vehicle rolled over and she was paralyzed. And that week she had just been fitted for, she had metal leg braces. She had just been fitted for new metal leg braces because her legs had atrophied, and they had to make ones that were tighter on her. And she said, I just came in because I heard the music and I was sitting towards the back and this woman came to me and she started talking to me about Jesus. And then she said, said, do you want to pray? And I really didn't know what I was going to pray, but she told me to come down to the front, and I came down to the front, and she started saying to me, repeat after me. And as I started to repeat after her, she said there was like a heat that went through my body, and all of a sudden I felt pain because the crutches were digging into my, the braces were digging into my flesh. She said, so I had to run out to the ladies' room and take them off, and she reached down and picked them up. She said, I've been wearing them for 3 years. And she took off running, and she came back, and I said, well, praise God, God has healed you. She said, no, you don't understand. I couldn't do this before. And she took off running again. And she came back, and I said, yes, I understand. God has healed you. She said, well, why aren't you more excited? Does he do this stuff all the time? And I said, yes, he does, and I am excited. But folks, I want you to know, Mabel was not an evangelist, a pastor, a missionary, or any big name preacher. She was just a believer in Jesus, amen? And God flowed through her to do the works of Jesus. And that's what God wants to do through us as well. Hallelujah. Greater works than Jesus did. God desires to do through us. Hallelujah. So when we pray, we need to pray, God, empower me. God, flow through me by your Holy Spirit. God, let your miracle-working power be released through me when I go to work. Hallelujah. Let it be released through me when I'm in the grocery store. Let it be released through me when I'm in the restaurant. Let it be released through me when I gather together in worship with your people so that you can use me, so that your works can be made manifest through me. Hallelujah. So that your name may be glorified. Praise the Lord. When we pray, God send a mighty revival. We need to say, Lord, renew our church. Raise us up in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth like a mighty army in these last days to reach the lost with miracles and signs and wonders that will confirm your word. When we pray like that, that is the will of God, that it might bring glory unto his name. And that's the kind of prayer that God will answer. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. You know, the wonderful revival of 1857 and 1858 in this country, which has been described as the greatest revival since the days of the apostles. This revival in 1858 and 57 was a result of prayer. And it began with the prayers of one man named Jeremiah Lamphere. He was a businessman in New York City. And he was burdened for revival of the church and to see the lost come to Christ. And so he passed out flyers in his area and invited the businessmen in that area to gather at noon at church for prayer. And do you know how many people showed up that first day? None. But Jeremiah prayed anyway. Then he came again the next week. By 12:30, another man joined. Then there were six. The next week, 20. The following week, 30. And in a short time, crowds of 3,000 were gathering in prayer. And as the spirit of prayer spread, prayer meetings began to rise up all throughout the city, and thousands of prayer meetings began being held every hour of the day in New York City, in churches and in theaters all across the city, so that a chain of prayer 2,000 miles in length became formed all across the United States. And at the time immediately preceding this revival, it was said that America was in a state of moral and spiritual degradation, such that the whole country was on the verge of a volcanic eruption of vice and political disaster. Wow, are they talking about today? You know what? Prayer was the answer then, and you know what the answer is today? Prayer. As a result of prayer, there was such an outpouring of the Spirit of God that it is estimated that over 1 million people got saved in that year. Hallelujah. Now you get 1 million people saved in our country, and it's going to have an impact on our society. Amen. Things are going to begin to change because morals change, values change. Amen. And the power of God begins to spread through these individuals. Hallelujah. An outpouring of the Spirit. The revival that was started by that prayer meeting spread across the Atlantic, and it went to England and Wales and other parts of Europe. In Wales, the revival was so intense that the police didn't have anything to do because there was no crime. So they started to form quartets and sing in churches. Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened here? Hallelujah. Because I know in South Florida, the police are very busy every day. Could you imagine if they didn't have any work because so many people got saved? Praise the Lord. We've got to pray, folks. It's time for us as the church to level up in our prayers. As we see the world in chaos and turmoil, it does no good for us to complain about it and lament about it and get depressed about it. But if we pray about it, then God will work. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. As we see the rising tide of darkness, we must pray now more than ever. So let's commit individually and as a church to make 2023 a year of prayer. Let's commit to abide in Him and to allow His Word to abide in us by either starting 5 minutes a day in His Word or adding 5 minutes a day in His Word. Amen? Let's commit to abide in Him and allow His Word to abide in. Let's commit to walk in obedience to Him, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Let's commit to pray every day, not just for our needs and our wants, but to pray, let your kingdom come, Lord God. Destroy the kingdom of darkness in our community. Destroy the work of darkness in our nation. And let your will be done, even as it is in heaven. And let's commit this January to be a church that fasts and pray. I want to call every person in this church, young and old. There's no age limit on fasting and pray. Amen. This promises to everybody. So teenagers, young people, senior citizens, if you're physically able, if your health does not exclude you, I want to call every person in this church to fast one day a week. You can fast a whole day or one meal according to what your body is able to do, but I want to call everybody to fast one day a week and to pray that God's kingdom would come, that the works of darkness would be destroyed, that His power would be manifest, that there would be a revival in our spirit starting in us and flowing out from us to make a difference in our community and in our nation and to bring many souls to Christ. Will you join together in prayer with me for that? Amen. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond in just a moment. But before we do, Jesus has given us a wonderful promise of answered prayer, but it's given to those who believe in Jesus. So the first step to having confidence in our prayers that God will answer them is to come to Jesus in faith. You know, we have all sinned, and sin separated us from God. And the whole reason that Jesus died and rose again is so that when we place our faith in Him and repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from, we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction, and we need to make a U-turn. We've been walking in a path with disregard to God, living life our way. We need to make a U-turn. That's repentance. And we say, God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I invite you to come live inside of me. I want to follow you from this day forward. The moment we do that, the Bible says that we are born again, that we become a child of God. We are made spiritually alive. We are brought into relationship with God. And then we become one of those who can claim that promise, that because we have faith in Him, we can ask anything and He will answer it. And if you're here today and you have never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe you did so many years ago and you have drifted away, but you can feel the Lord tugging at your heart to come back to Him, I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer with me. And as you pray this prayer, it's not my words, but your heart in sincerity, God is going to do exactly what you ask Him to do. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sinful life, and I turn to You in faith. I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I invite You to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to be the first to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life and welcome you to the family of God. You just made the best decision that you could ever make. Amen. And I want to encourage you to do three things to continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. First of all, thankfully we have the screen working now. If you've got your phone with you, if you would text to the number on the screen, I prayed. Why? Because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that will help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the steps that you need to take to move forward, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. So we want to send this to you free of charge to help you continue on your faith journey. So if you text "I prayed" right now, if you're online, just type "I prayed" in the comments. We want to send you this book free of charge. And while you do that, we want to encourage all those that just prayed and every Christian to do three things to ensure that we are growing on a regular basis. Number one, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Begin by thanking Him for the good things in your life, because every good thing comes from Him. And then talk to Him about whatever problems, difficulties, decisions that you're facing that you need His help in. At a very basic level, that's prayer. Just start talking to God every day. He's your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from you. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And people often ask, well, how does God talk to us? Well, there are many ways that God talks to us, but the number one way is through the Word, through the Bible. That's His message to us. If you don't yet have a printed version of the Bible, just download the YouVersion app. That's YOUVersion. Download it on your phone or tablet. It's free. You can read free. There's never a charge. Start reading in 1 John before you read. Just ask God to help you understand what you're reading and apply it to your life. And just read a few verses every day. What you do understand, ask God to help you to put it into practice. What you don't understand, put it to the side. When you need it, God will help you to understand it. Amen? And then the third thing, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, we invite you to be a part of this wonderful church family. And we will stand with you and pray with you and encourage you in your faith journey. If you're outside of the South Florida area, find an Assembly of God church. Don't just attend, but put down roots and develop relationships there. It will help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. But once again, congratulations. Now I want to speak to those of us who are believing in Him, that have already given our heart to Christ. And I want to call each of us to commit to level up our prayer life. As we see the world in chaos and turmoil and the tide of evil and darkness rising, let's commit to pray now more than ever and to make 2023 a year of prayer. Let's commit to abide in Him and allow His word to abide in us by adding or starting with 5 minutes or adding 5 minutes to our time in His word, because the only way we can pray effectual prayers is when they're based on His word. Amen? So start with that. And then commit to praying every day and seeking for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. You can ask for your needs as well, because that's a part of what Jesus taught us to pray, right? Give us this day our daily bread. But let's pray. Let your kingdom come. Let the works of darkness be destroyed. Let your will be done. Let your purpose be advanced in my life, in our church, in our community, in our nation. Let's pray that every day. And ultimately, let's commit today to fast and pray 1 day a week through the month of January, either the whole day or one meal, as we pray and seek God for His kingdom to be made manifest and for His will to be done, not just in our life, but in our church, our community, and our nation. If it's your desire to make this commitment today to level up our prayer life and to really fast and seek God to move in a fresh and powerful way, would you stand to your feet and make your way to this altar just for a few moments? We're not going to keep you long. But there's something about coming to this altar and making a commitment to God that is important. Hallelujah. And you talk to God right now. You know the area He's dealing with you about. You talk to God as I pray over us, but He wants to hear your voice. Heavenly Father, I thank You for all of these who have received Your word with gladness of heart this morning, and they are responding with obedience and faith, Lord God. Father, as we stand before You today, Lord God, we're making a fresh commitment to prayer, to leveling up our prayer life, Lord God, to being a people and a church fervent in prayer, Lord God. Father, we are committing ourselves to be a people of Your word, to let Your word abide in us, Lord God, by increasing our time in Your word daily, Lord God. And Father, we are committing ourselves this morning to fast and pray together with our church family, Lord, 1 day a week, and to seek Your face, Lord God, that You may pour out Your spirit in a fresh and living way in each of our lives and in the midst of our church, Lord God, that You would send a fresh revival among us, Lord God, that would empower us with Your Holy Spirit to destroy the kingdom of darkness, to destroy the strongholds of the enemy, Lord God, and to let Your power flow through us, Lord God, in a mighty way with miracles and signs and wonders to confirm Your word, Lord God, that many might be brought into Your kingdom. And we are praying for a revival that will sweep across this land, Lord God. We just heard about the first great awakening awakening. And if you did it once, you can do it again, Lord God. We want to see a million and more than a million souls brought into your kingdom, oh God. But we know it can only be done by your Spirit, oh God. So we commit ourselves to seek you in prayer, that you would send a powerful move of your Spirit. Start it in our lives, start it in our church, and sweep across this land, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.